I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. So good to be met together in God's house, is it not? Amen. Someone said, live a good, righteous life. Then when you get older and think back, you'll enjoy it a second time. I think that's pretty good advice. Well, we're glad that you're here today. Just an update on the missions conference. What was our goal? Do you remember? 15,000. And if my figures are correct, we raised almost 17,000. More money came in since that day, and we give God the praise that these needs are being met. Amen. This morning, as I was down in the prayer room praying, the Lord just so sweetly gave me the thought and sort of like a vision of those precious African people going to their churches out there in the bush. You know, you can't have that experience and come back the same. And my thoughts go their way many times, and I pray God bless them as they gather for worship, just as we're gathering here, because we're coming before the same God. Thank the Lord. Gentleness and meekness. We want to pick up again one of the fruit of the Spirit. I sort of feel like I've been gone so much, being away at Africa, then men and boys last week. But it is good to be back together and see you precious people. I'm reading the 22nd verse of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let us pray. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can gather today in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. As we've come together, Lord, I pray that you would continue to minister to us. We've enjoyed the worship team as they led us in song and praise. And now, Lord, we ask for your guidance, the help of the Holy Spirit as we look into your word. Lord, would you just speak and challenge us together on this subject of gentleness, that, Lord, we truly would be God's gentle people. We live in a world of war and conflict and sorrow and pain, but we're so glad that Jesus Christ promises never to leave us or forsake us, and he's here with us today. I ask, Lord, you would bless every heart and life under the sound of my voice. And we think of those, Lord, that are not here, visiting yesterday with Musser and Anna. Pray you continue the healing that Anna needs since she's had her operation on her hip. And then Don and Rachel, and the pain that Rachel has experienced in having a bad fall. I just pray you continue to touch her and raise her up. And Naomi and her back surgery, Lord, continue to be with her. I know she would like to be here with us today. I just pray that your presence would be there to minister to her heart. And Oren, as he cares for his wife. And others, Lord. There's John Zimmerman today. We were to see him. And very happy in Jesus and ready to go home to heaven. I just pray you'd minister to him. And then, Lord, we pray for the Horse family. Thank you for their time of ministry with us. And we're asking, Lord, that you would indeed make a clear direction in their ministry and bless them, Lord, as they serve you. Lord, just be with every family here today. You know the unspoken requests that we have. And Lord, we're just trusting you that you're going to hear and answer prayer as we walk this journey together, looking forward to that day that we'll see you face to face. Now we pray that you'd guide us this morning. May you be receiving all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' worthy name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen. Number 8 in the list of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Now, depending on what translation you might have, the word meekness is also used. What is the quality of gentleness or meekness? Do you feel that you are a gentle person? Maybe you know some people, you say, definitely that person would fit that category. Well, certainly in a biblical sense, gentleness or meekness certainly is not weakness, nor is it putting down of oneself. I ran across some stories about President George Washington. I guess he was a general at that time. Whether these are factual, you know, we're not quite sure, but they do make an interesting illustration. So I trust that they would encourage your heart if they did mine. The stories picture him not only as a gentleman, but as a gentle man. On one occasion, he was fox hunting with a group of friends, and the horse he was on leaped over a stone wall, and one of the large stones fell. So he stopped immediately, went back, and was picking up the stone. One of his friends says, "You're too big a man to do that." His reply is, "I'm just the right size." Another story comes from Valley Forge, and I'm sure if you know your history, the Army spent a cold, long winter there. And the stories of a corporal who was out one day with three of his men. They were trying to lift a heavy log into place, and it was very heavy, and the corporal kept saying, "All right, men, one, two, three," and they were struggling, and a big, tall man came up and said, "Why don't you help them?" And the corporal straightened up. He said, "I am a corporal." Well, without a word, this man went over and stepped down and helped them and quickly put the log into place. That man was George Washington. Gentleness includes true humility. It doesn't consider itself too good or exalted for humble tasks. I don't know if you've ever noticed how when cars get old, they go to the junkyard and then they go into the crusher. They flatten them down within just a few inches and haul them off to be melted down so they can become your new car you buy. In one of these junkyards was this large machine, and they said you could take a walnut, put it in that machine, and gently break the shell without hurting the meat of the nut. What an illustration of gentleness as power under perfect control. That gets close, I think, to the biblical meaning of what gentleness is. The New King James Version lists gentleness as the fruit of the Spirit. In today's English, the meaning is better expressed by the word kindness. The NIV uses both the words kindness and gentleness. And so it's the eighth fruit that we're looking at today that the King James would translate as meekness. It's not a matter of any difference necessarily in the ancient Greek manuscripts, but the English language has changed since the days of King James and Shakespeare. Did you ever try to read some of the English back there? I remember in the school, the English teacher was bringing out these poems and poetry and gave us some of that old English. It was very difficult to read, so a lot of changes have taken place. But the Webster Dictionary does give an older meaning for meekness as an enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And I don't think that's too far away from the true biblical meaning here of the text. Gentleness is never self-important, but it's considerate, it's courteous, modest, yet trying to get a job done that needs to be completed. I read where Aristotle gave the classic definition as halfway between excessive anger and indifference. I guess perhaps he's thinking that a man can be angry at the right time, but also submissive at the right time. You think also of the powerful yet tamed animal that is under control. We saw a lot of animals when we were in Africa out there at the game park. And I wasn't about to get out of the car and see if they were tame or not. But you've probably seen places where people are riding elephants and what have you. They have them tamed down. So to better understand the word gentleness that we're looking at today, we need to go to the scriptures. And there's a lot of New Testament scriptures that use the word gentle. 1 Corinthians 4:21 will begin there. The Apostle Paul was dealing with an arrogant group of people. And so he was saying to them, "What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? You see, Paul, no doubt, had tremendous love for those believers, those that he had shared the gospel with and the churches that were started. But his love was not mere blind sentimentality. He knew that sometimes discipline was necessary. And so he was prepared to exercise it if need be. But he wanted to see, to have them see that in their response of repentance, so that he could then show them love and gentleness. And that was what is in his heart to them. He goes on to talk about weapons that we fight that are not weapons of this world. You know, there's principalities and powers and a spirit world out there. We certainly can't battle that without the Lord's help. But we do have Christ's divine power to tear down strongholds, praise the Lord. Keep praying, saints. Keep holding on that God would be victorious for us. A gentle person is one that's not carried away with rage, personal malice, greed, pride, whatever. But the gentleness of Christ should be seen in our lives as we triumphant for him. In Galatians 6:1, Paul tells us that if a man is trapped in some sin, those who are spiritual should restore him gently. Problems arise where even the very best of us can slip up. Just as one might slip on an icy path. And folks, that's coming. These cool days make us think about what's ahead. And I think as you get older, that is something you think about more often. Oh, my wife's giving me a frown. She don't want to think about winter coming. But that's life, sweetheart. If we're filled with the Spirit, we will show forth gentleness, not hardness, not condemnation as we try to restore another person. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, Paul is there urging every one of us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. He calls on us to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's the only place you can be a bear, as you bear gently with others in love. We're to be free from self-exaltation and fully submitted to the will of God, both in our relationship to him and to one another. Colossians 3:2, again, Paul urges, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, that would tell me that there's a part that we need to play there with the Holy Spirit, that we would clothe ourselves, allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. One person said this, don't worry about the fruit, just bask in the sunlight of his love, enjoy the rain of his blessing, and the fruit will automatically appear. I don't see that in the scriptures, do you? We have to put to death the works of the flesh by power and help of the blessed Holy Spirit. And he is faithful, praise the Lord. He is faithful. In Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 17, and we're not going to read it all, but there's seems to be a total scope of what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sinful immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, again, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, as I said, I'm stopping there at the end of verse 12. And in your convenience, and not now, read on to the end to 17. We have to take to ourselves the fruit of the Spirit and exercise our faith in God to develop them. Peter also gets in on this in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. He says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. James says in verse 21 of chapter 1, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word implanted in us, which can save us." So there the word humbly can also be used as gentleness and meekness, depending again on the translation that you're using. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom." The word translated humility in the original Greek means humble or gentleness. And finally, in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16, we're told to prepare to have an answer ready for those that come and ask us, "What about the hope that you have?" It says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Someone pointed out that you don't find the word courage in Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm sure we would all agree it takes courage, doesn't it, to stand for Christ and what is right, to be gentle in the midst of an evil world that's all around us. It took courage for Paul to stand against that party spirit that was developing in the Corinth church, the Corinthian church. It had become almost vicious. I want to share a few statements, and I agree with these wholeheartedly. Gentleness is never a false modesty, a self-depreciation, or a spineless refusal to stand for anything. Gentleness is never a cowardly retreat from reality which substitutes a passive selfishness for real gentleness and avoids trouble in ways that allow even greater trouble to develop. Neither is it a false humility that refuses to recognize God given talents or abilities, or that refuses to use them for his glory. One of the greatest Old Testament figures was Moses. What word comes to your mind when you think about Moses? Anyone? Okay, any some more? Who said that? Who said meek? Meekness, yes. Moses, the scripture says, was the meekest man that ever walked the earth. So if you think you're meek, you sure don't come up to Moses, sorry. You or I. He was a humble man. There in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says that. More than any in all the face of the earth. So depending, again, what translation you use, that same word humble and meek is interchangeable. But God gave him a very high position there, leading that million plus children of Israel. Now, it's hard for the natural man to be meek toward those who are attacking him, especially when they're attacking rank and honor and so forth. What about when those within your own family attack you? Remember, Moses' brother and sister did. He was still meek. He was gentle. He let God take care of the situation. You see, gentleness includes the idea that we don't care what happens to our honor. We're concerned more what happens to God's honor and to others. That's hard to say we're there, right? We're working on that one, aren't we? I am. It's easy for us to naturally react with anger, especially when we feel insecure in our position. But when we accept the reality of who we are in Christ and trust the Holy Spirit to help us, we can be gentle no matter what the conflict may be. Jesus showed true gentleness both in the midst of conflict and when his popularity was rising and everyone was praising him. In doing his miracles and healings, you know, the crowds were getting really a high pitch of enthusiasm, but he refused to allow them to make him king before his time. Of course, then they got angry at him, and he still loved them. Reminds me of the passage there in Isaiah 42. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he'll not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." Jesus knew who he was. And he was gentle, and he was humble. He knew the mission God had given him, and praise the Lord, he remained faithful to the end. Gentleness and humbleness is quite a contrast to the mobs of people who today seem to exalt themselves by noisy demonstrations and violence and destruction of property, even to the point they think they're above the law. But Jesus' awareness of his power enabled him to be gentle to those in need. I'm here today to tell you his gentleness works. Try it as you work with people. It brings forth righteousness. It'll bring forth justice in the earth. Jesus gently takes the sinner and makes him whole. Praise his name. I thank the Lord he has saved us all for a purpose. To serve him and others. I thank the Lord for experiences that he teaches us along the way to fulfill his plan and purpose. Did you ever say, "Oh, Lord, why are you allowing this in my life?" I think we're all there. Oh, may we just with gentleness and humility say, "Lord, whatever you're trying to do, I want your will in this situation." And so it's a challenge that comes to all of us today. We would choose by God's help to cultivate this fruit of the Spirit. May we be open to what God desires for you and me as we walk with him. And then to give all the glory to God and to show a gentleness that is powerful and demonstrates a high and a lofty, faithful love of God. You say amen? Amen. Amen. Worship team is coming now.